The message you are about to hear is brought to you by Art Bradick. And now, Mr. Bradick.
Let's go over to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, if you will. You know, if there is anything that I think is obvious to all of us, it is this fact that we're going to attain the kingdom of God by putting out effort. It's got to take effort. And you and I share this unique calling, and our goal is very much the same as those holy men and women of old. We're called to attain the greatest prize of all time. Ask us to think about this further. There is no more worthwhile goal than what we're pursuing in our quest for the kingdom. There's no greater reward. There's nothing that could be any more wonderful. And understanding the importance of our calling, it brings up a question, and that is this. What is the single most important thing that you and I need to do to ensure that we attain that kingdom that we're seeking it? To me, it's an often forgotten key that we should use. The quest for anything is never easy. Anything, nothing comes easy. It always requires effort. But there is this thing that makes a difference in success or not. And the primary difference between those who succeed and those who fail is this. It is the ability to keep going when everyone else drops out. Successful people are those who persist, and they persist, and they persist until they attain their goal. Now, we often forget this fact when things are going well. We forget the need to persist. But we've got to learn to persist in both good times when things seem easy and in difficult times when we have things like setbacks that happen to us. Keep going when it looks like we're not making any progress. It seems like that to us, but we've got to learn about persisting in every aspect of our lives. In a sermon by Mr. Leroy Neff, he made a comment that I've always remembered, and I think it's memorable, and I think it applies here. He said this, "It's the plodders who will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, what he meant by that is that successful people are going to be those who are going to just keep going. They're just going to keep on going no matter what. In spite of everything, just keep going. Keep plodding towards the kingdom. Don't let anything stop us. It's those who carry, to me, within themselves a vision of a hope, a consuming vision that drives them on and on. Those are the ones that are going to make it in the end. They focus on it when they go to sleep. Do you think about the kingdom when you go to sleep? Do you kind of meditate and pray as you're falling asleep? And they think about it when they wake up in the beginning of the day. This is my goal. This is what I'm heading for. These are the people who don't ever give up. They possess a powerful key of persistence. They never stop, no matter what they face, no matter what occurs. And God makes this clear when he says this in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That is so true. Don't become weary, brethren. Don't become sluggish in our calling, because that's the tendency of the church at the end. Don't become distracted. Simple enough. Keep going. Tozer once stated this. He said, "As the excellence of steel is strength, and the excellence of art is beauty, so the excellence of mankind is moral character." Moral character in human beings is mankind at our best. And this is the thing that raises us above the animals and makes us different. And so following the traits I'm going to read are what makes moral character, and that's in Galatians 5. If you look at Galatians 5 and remember verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so it is that if we live in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. Now here is an enormous truth, and that is this. We may have the Spirit of God within us, but that does not guarantee that we're going to manifest that fruit we just read of the Spirit. It doesn't mean we're going to automatically do it. We're not going to automatically bear fruit. We must continue to grow in these traits and in these attributes. Got it? Persistence is the only way we'll ever do that. We can talk about it, think about it, read about it, pray about it. We can do all that. But if we aren't putting out the effort, if we don't do our part to persist over and over again, this is our goal. So it doesn't matter what's going on around us, does it? It doesn't matter if we have a good job or a bad job, or if we're rich or if we're poor, or what we have in this life. None of it really matters. The only thing that really does matter is that we persist in pursuing these qualities that are those qualities of God. Persistence is the key. We must insist on success. Notice a statement by Napoleon Hill. Hill said this, "Persistence is to the character of man as carbon is to steel." So the higher the carbon content, the stronger the steel is. And the higher the level of our persistence is, the stronger our faith is going to be. And that will keep us going and we'll never stop. And you know what that means? If we don't stop, we attain. That's what happens. We will attain the goal. Never stop. If we persevere long enough, and this is important, I think, to understand, if we strive to do God's will long enough in time, those ways of God will become, because of persistence, it will become consistence, a consistency in our behavior. His way will become our way, and as a result, it will be God's reason to choose us, because we're consistent in his way of life. Now, I know some people become discouraged when they experience roadblocks in their life. Obstacles sometimes suddenly seem to appear in our path, and when these occur, usually we're caught off guard by it. You know, sometimes what happens then is we slow our effort. But my point today is expect it. Depend on it. Expect obstacles to come in our life. And expect to even make mistakes. But I ask you to think about this. You and I making mistakes is not what God cares about that much, because he knows we're designed to make mistakes. Here's the issue that God cares about. Will we relentlessly keep on going? That's what he cares about. Will we pick ourselves back up and get back on that path and go for the goal that he's called us to? Christopher Reeves once stated this, "I think a hero is an ordinary individual who finds strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles." That's us. That's what we're going to do. Everyone in this room, everyone listening to this on tape, that's what we're going to do. We've committed to doing that, and that's what we're going to do. To me, this is the very definition that he says of perseverance. Continuing our course of action regardless of any opposition. Consider the story, for example, of Helen Keller. Keller was born deaf and blind, and she came to this mysterious illness when she was about 18, 19 months old, and it left her without sight and without any sound at what is probably one of the most crucial times in life. After years of struggle, her parents ran across Ann Sullivan. Now, Sullivan was a graduate of Perkins School for the Blind, and when they met, Helen was extremely moody. She would throw fits and tantrums because she was so frustrated with not knowing what was going on and so completely out of touch with life. However, Anne Sullivan refused to give up on this troublesome girl. She would not give up working with her. She continued every day teaching her sign language, and month after month she would make symbols of what she was talking about, and she'd put them in one hand, and then she would put the object in the other, month after month, day after day, week after week, month after month, for a long, long time, hoping that she would understand this is the same as this. Finally, one day, Helen was able to connect. It was amazing that his son, Sullivan, spelled out water in her hand, and then she poured water in the other hand, and Helen got it. She understood what she was trying to communicate all those months because she never gave up. Helen came alive. She spent the rest of that day, she learned 30 new words and what they meant in that one day with that one breakthrough because of the effort she put through. So she then began a journey to be able to interact with others in life and the world around her. So for 25 years, she worked to improve her speech and ultimately graduated cum laude from Radcliffe in 1904. She actually married, and with help, she wrote a book. But you understand the impossible odds of being able to do this? Imagine it from birth, not being able to hear or see. But she didn't give up. She didn't give up. Anne Sullivan didn't give up. So she had help, but she accepted that help and used that help to go on and pursue her goal of connecting. And she had a real life in spite of those terrible handicaps. 1 Corinthians 15. My point to us today is using her illustration because without persistence, it never would have happened. You understand how important this key is, how vital it is? There's a history lesson in it for all of us. Her story is for us. She had a seemingly impossible mission to accomplish. You and I have been given a seemingly impossible mission to accomplish, and that is to become like God, to overcome the human nature that's actually a part of us. That's phenomenal and hard to do. But with God's help, just like Helen had Solomon's help, we have God's help, we can achieve that goal. Something we have to do, though. We have a part. And that part is this. We have to keep going, no matter what. We have to persevere in order to attain the goal. But this is God's promise to us. Our labor will not be an end, will not be in vain. In fact, there will be an end that is in glory. In 57, verse 57, but thanks be to God, it says, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, here's what he says, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know your effort isn't in vain. And so let's not ever stop putting forth or making that effort. Let's persevere every day and make a commitment in the morning when we get up. I'm going to persevere this day. I'm going to do my very best because it's this that's going to give us the victory. We can't do it by ourselves, but with God's help, we can do it. And he has, not naturally given us the tools to do it, but he's given us forgiveness. He's given us his Holy Spirit to understand. But again, we have to have our part. And I ask you to think about this in Genesis 32. We look at this trial that Jacob went through, and I think you begin to see this whole point and God's way of dealing with us, but also what he expects from us. So let's go to let's go to Genesis 32. In order to be his chosen, I believe we've got to have this prime ingredient. And that ingredient is perseverance. And notice Christ's test here with Jacob. He was returning after serving Jethro, and he put his wife and his children in a safe place across the Jabbok River. And then he lay down to sleep. Then something extraordinary happened to him in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Has anyone here ever wrestled with someone else that was their equal? Because if you did it for a half an hour, you're exhausted. I mean, you put every bit of your strength into it, and the other person puts every bit of their strength in it. It's a struggle. I can't even imagine wrestling all night long. Two individuals using everything they have. It would be so fatiguing. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have had power with God and with men and have prevailed. It was the very Savior wrestling with Jacob. Christ was testing him. See, if would he give up against a formidable foe? Would he do that or not? And he found that Jacob would not let go. And Christ had to put his leg out of joint. Even then, what happened? He's not letting go. And so he asked for a blessing. And he asked who it was that wrestled with him. In verse 29, Jacob asked him, said, tell me, pray be your name. And he said, "What? Wherefore is it that you ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And so we see that Jacob actually wrestled with God. And of course, nobody could wrestle with God, could they? And when? That would be impossible to do. So I ask you to consider something, and that is this. Christ had to manifest himself as a human being, as he did to Adam and Eve, and as he did to Abraham, and as he did to others in other times. He had to manifest himself as a human being. But because, and I believe this so sincerely, having wrestled before, that if you wrestled all night and nobody could get the advantage, God couldn't get the advantage, he had to touch him in the thigh, and then he had to bless him. You understand what I'm getting at, that I would suggest that God has the ability to appear as however he wills, and I suggest that he made himself molecule for molecule just like Jacob. And so that Jacob, he expected Jacob when the sunlight came out, he expected Jacob to understand what was going on here, that he was wrestling with himself. And that's the point of this lesson. You understand persistence as we wrestle against a formidable foe, and that formidable foe is ourselves and our carnal nature that lives within us. And it's a beautiful lesson of perseverance from God. So we have Jacob as our example. Never gave up. He never let go of God. And we've got to never let go of our fight with our human nature, and persist to the end is what we must do. There'll always become issues in life that will resist us, but there will always be roadblocks, but there will always be persistence, and if we work at it, God will help us, and we can overcome those roadblocks, we can overcome those trials, we can succeed. We'll have troubles. Paul said, through much affliction, we enter the kingdom. Every one of us, everyone is going to have troubles. The issue is, will we persevere through those troubles? 2 Corinthians 4, if you will. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's always bumps in the road. 2 Corinthians 4. There'll always be opposition. There'll always be difficulties. But I say this, with God on our side, if we persist, There is absolutely nothing that can ever stop us. There's no way we won't make it if we continue to go on this path, no matter what happens to us in life. Never stop the process we entered. When baptized, we were asked, count the cost. We were asked that, and we read that scripture in Luke. Count the cost. And there is a cost. Are you and I willing to keep going no matter what our condition, no matter what our situation? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8 and 9. We're troubled in our life on every side, Paul writes. Yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed. We don't get it. What's going on? Why did this happen? We don't get it sometimes. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Proverbs 24. But what if we do experience failures, complete failures even? Proverbs 24. Every one of us does fail from time to time just because we're human beings, and that's what happens with human beings. We take a wrong path. Later we find out it was the wrong path. We wonder, how did we get here? And we made a mistake. But they don't have to be mistakes, and failures don't have to be the end of our story. We can find a way back to the right path. We can always find that way back because it's right in this book, and it's right inside here through the Spirit of God. We can be forgiven, and with persistence, we can attain. Winston Churchill said this, success means going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. That's a good one, isn't it? Failure to failure, and don't lose your enthusiasm. Well, I think that what the goal is, what our ultimate goal is going to be of being in God's kingdom and being assistants to Him, being married to Christ, we've got to keep that in our mind, because what has a failure in this life as a human being, or a difficulty in this life, what is it compared to that? That should motivate us. Keep going. Keep going. The plotters are going to inherit the kingdom because they just don't stop. They just don't stop. Proverbs 24:16 says this, a just man falls seven times and he rises again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And so if we fall, we rise again and we get back in line. The inventor of the Dyson vacuum cleaner advises people this. He said, fail more. Fail more is what he suggests is really good for us. It took him 5,126 prototypes to complete his vacuum cleaner. And Dyson said, there are countless times any inventor can give up. Anybody on any project can give up, really. The time he made his 15th prototype, his third child was born. By prototype 2,627, his wife and he were counting pennies. By 3,727, his wife was giving art lessons to get extra cash so that they could survive. These were tough times, he said, but he said each failure brought him closer to solving a problem. And it was the final attempt that finally brought him success. 5,126 attempts. But the final one gave him success. Here's what he said to all of us. The process eventually bore the fruit, he said. I just had to keep at it. We just need to keep at it. Yeah. What a point. Just keep at it. It's not always going to be perfect. Just keep at it. Michael Jordan had something to say. He said, I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game's winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, he said. And then he adds, that's exactly why I succeed. He just keeps going. So failure is not delay, and failure is not defeat. What is it? It's a teacher. This didn't work. Get back on the path and head for your goal. Get back on the path and head for the goal. Persistence in the face of failures is our best friend, in one sense. It's the key to success in any field, any accomplishment. And it must be our key to success in attaining God's kingdom. Think for a moment about this, about people who have let down in their pursuit of their goal. Remember, Israel desired a king, and they gave him Saul, and at first he seemed to be following God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 28. But he forgot that God was king, and he was merely God's servant. He thought he was the king, and therefore anything he did was going to be okay. The power and the ego that we carry within us got to him. He forgot these things. The result was tragic. 1 Samuel 28:16-17. Then said Samuel, "Wherefore do you ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?" What a tragedy that would be. He needed to get back on that path and keep going. "The Lord has done to him as he spoke by me, and the Lord has rent the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, even to David." 1 Kings 11. Later, Solomon, after David, became king, and he seemed to start out right. He asked for wisdom, and he had all this wisdom, and you would think with that kind of wisdom, he would get it, he would stay on course, but that wasn't the case. That was not the case. He did not persist in God's way, and at the end of his life, he turned and worshipped Ashtoreth. 1 Kings 11:4. The result, by the way, was that the nation was split in two, and ultimately those kingdoms in the north were destroyed, taken captive, and lost to history. I mean, just think of the millions of people that entailed because of this one mistake that he was making here. 1 Kings 11:4. "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods." Got it? We're persisting on this path, in this direction. And then he got turned away from persisting that direction, and he went another way. "And he turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites." What a horrible, horrible thing. And all of that because he, at the end, stopped using this key of persistence on the path that God has given us. Let's go to Luke 18. So today I ask us to be persistent in a few things in our lives, and one of those is prayer. Be persistent in prayer. The world we live in is in a mad rush, and it's passing by us, and it's going so fast it seems like we have trouble keeping up. In some cases, we begin to try to do two things at once. You know, that happens, and a lot of people in a lot of jobs are being forced to wear two hats at the same time. But I've heard Christians explain in this busy, fast world that they just pray on the way to work in the morning. My personal belief is this: we can meditate while we're driving. That's not the same as prayer. It's not the same. Your mind is split in two directions. We think we can do this, but it doesn't work. You understand, if somebody's watching television and you're talking to them and they continue to watch television, I can hear you, but is it making sense? Is it going to have any lasting meaning? No. Well, that's my point about this kind of thing. We need to give dedicated time to God, personal time, intimate time, with just he and us. But we need to do that every day. You know, and the scriptures talk about Daniel. They talk about others that prayed three times a day. That's a good idea, you know. And we should probably pray three times a day to one degree or another. And here's what I hear from people. I run out of things to say. I don't know what else to say. And I'm going, good. That's when you stay in prayer and listen. You listen. And ideas and thoughts will come from God. And that's a beautiful part of prayer. So don't freak if we run out of words to say. Sometimes that's a good thing. Just pray and listen. Okay, Luke 18 and verse 1 says this. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is, don't weaken, don't get weary from it. Romans 12. In other words, he's saying really be persistent. To me, this is one of the most vital parts of our life, and that is to be persistent in our prayers and so on. It's in prayer where we actually build our intimate relationship with God. That is, we repeatedly imprint Him as most important in our lives by praying in a persistent way. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, but continuing instant in prayer. That is, constantly, diligently, is what it's saying. So every day, as often as possible, I think we should pray, you know, every morning. I mean, three times a day we should, without ceasing, no matter what we've done or did not do, persist in prayer. Romans 2, back up a little bit. We should also be persistent in doing good works. You know, every day you make thousands of decisions. A lot of them you don't even think about. But nearly everyone requires a moral judgment. Every decision does. Every decision requires a moral judgment. Do we pay attention to those decisions in that context? Because it's those little decisions, one after another, thousands later, that mold us and shape us and mold our thinking, which molds our actions, which molds our future. Think about it. And so we want to strive to continue to do good works, to make godly decisions each day. Or do we look at what's in our best interest? Or are we doing good works? Do we act as if only we matter? Or do we value others, for example? To me, this is an area of life that defines us to Christ. He's watching us and seeing where we're coming from. Romans 2 and verse 6, speaking of Christ, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing. You see what patient continuance and well-doing is? Persistence. Seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. It's beautiful. 2 Thessalonians 3. So many times we do good to others and they take it for granted. It has a tendency, I think, sometimes to harden us a little bit when we do that. If we do good works to people, towards others, if we serve others and do things like that, if we do those things and they don't appreciate it, then we sometimes can kind of harden our hearts. But you understand how God gives to us daily, every day, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust, that we should still be willing to do good work to help others. Because we're going to be helping those people in the kingdom of God. What are they going to give to us? Nothing. And so this is the pattern. Start now. This is the pattern to have mentally. This is the thought process and the attitude we should have, that is, persist in helping others whenever we can, regardless of what we get back from it, regardless of what it might do for us. And so that to me is exactly what we should do. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Here's the Almighty's word on this. But you, brethren, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't become weary in your heart. Don't think that others, because of something they've done or who they are, they deserve what they get. You know, we're to grow in grace, and that means that we're to also do this. 2 Timothy 2:15, you remember this. 2 Timothy, because I'm going here because I think one of the things we need to persist in is study. Now, I know how this works. Excuse me. I learned this a long time ago from a tape my father gave me about why people become mediocre in their jobs or how they become successful and rise to the top. And it's this. Most people will study to learn their job, to learn what it is that they have to do. And they'll study, but after a while, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 2 years, you know, they'll study, and then they get to a point where they think they know all they need to know. They can get by. They can do whatever they need to do, and they don't go any further. That's what makes the difference between the expert. That's what makes the difference between the CEO and the people that work for him. It's this that's going to make the difference in our lives. We've studied for a long time. We know the Bible. We know all the basics. And yet, there is wisdom, and there are mysteries to be understood, and there are wonderful things in God's law that we can understand if we keep on digging. And so we've got to be persistent in our study. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says this, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so my point is, keep going, keep going. Dig deeper. Find out more. Because the more we do, the more we're in awe of the great God. Hebrews 6, if you will. Hebrews 6. We've got to overcome our human nature. See what laying around in bed all the time does? You lose your voice there. We've got to persist in striving to overcome our human nature. You know, we're called to seek the character and the mindset of Christ. And this means we've got to overcome actually what we are. We've got to overcome what we are. And this is seemingly impossible, but with His help we can do it. And that's the problem. You and I are our human nature. It's part of our flesh. It's just the way we are, and it never goes away. This is the problem. You think, you know, and a lot of times in life, you can work at something, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. That's behind you, and you go forward. You know, the thing is, you wake up the next morning, you're still human. You still have human nature. It doesn't ever go away. You've got to fight it forever, you know. But my point is, we're the enemy. Our human nature, our self-centeredness, our human nature makes us our own enemy, and this is what we have to overcome. And so my point is, persist in working to overcome human nature. And in the book Highly Developed Habits, author Rohn said this, and I think he says it well, so I ask you to listen. Motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. Highly persistent people know it's very difficult to stay continually motivated, particularly during difficult times or when it appears that no progress is being made. They have come to rely upon their self-discipline and developing habits they can count on to continue down the path towards their eventual goals. They believe the result of the efforts they make today may not be seen for a long, long time, but they strongly believe that everything they do will count towards their outcome in the end. Man, that's well said. That is really well said. And that fits us perfectly and fits our life. This is our calling. This is our hope. And this is how we are to live our life. And we don't fret over the issues of life. Don't fret ourselves. Instead, concentrate on living God's way. Life seems so big and so important and so real and so tangible. But God's calling and His desire for us to seek His way has to take precedence. We've got to persist in that more than anything else. And if we do, in time, we will attain our goal. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's it. We can be those who inherit the promises if we persist. So sometimes we're up, sometimes we're cast down, but it doesn't matter in life if we remember this. Persistence is what matters the most. It's the key to success in every endeavor. So let's continue. Let's make a commitment to continue to be persistent in prayer, be persistent in study, be persistent in overcoming our human nature, be persistent in doing good works in our life. If we do, we will ultimately inherit the kingdom of God.